Amen. Please be seated. We're turning back to Matthew, the Gospel, Matthew chapter 9. I do want to put in a little plug for next week. Next week I intend to preach on the saddest chapter in the Bible. And you'll just have to show up to find out what chapter that is. This morning, Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 18. Give your attention now as this is a reading of God's holy word. Please remember that the Bible is not a book that has the word of God scattered in it here and there. It is the word of God. It is inspired. That is, it's the breath of God. It's inerrant. It doesn't make mistakes. It's our only rule of faith and practice. Matthew 9, verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him. So did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came to the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. He said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. So far in the reading of the Word of God, the grass withers, the flowers fade, the Word of our God remains forever. Let's go before the throne of grace once again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have come and worship you in song and prayer and giving, and we would now worship by hearing and hearing from one of your servants, but we haven't come to be impressed by the gifts and talents of one man. But Lord, this is the means that you have ordained for the gospel to go forward, save sinners, and build up saints. So we pray that your Spirit will be working in both speaker and the hearers to the praise and glory of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, this was a busy time for Jesus. He had been teaching in parables, calming a storm, casting out a legion of demons. The people of that particular miracle, casting out of demons, they asked him to leave. Now they're asking him to come. Here comes one of the rulers of the synagogue. Hopeless people looking to Jesus, the demoniac, this woman, Jairus, the hope of the hopeless is who? Jesus Christ. What we see from these things is that he has authority. Authority over demons. Authority over sickness. In fact, authority over nature itself. Calms the storm, and the apostles say, "Who can this be? That even the winds and the waves obey him." The question remains, why did Jesus come into the world? it wasn't to cast out demons in a dramatic fashion. But he did that. Why did Jesus come into the world? It was not to heal people of their sickness and physical afflictions. But he did that. He didn't come just to show people he could tell the wind to be quiet. And yet, he did that. He didn't do it just to teach illustrative stories. There's a purpose behind all of those things. Israel cried out to the Lord. The book of Judges tells us the Lord raised up a deliverer. David sings in Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my deliverer." Why? Why did Jesus come into the world? Galatians 1, verse 4, "Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age." He came as a redeemer, not a healer, not a miracle worker, not a prophet alone. John 20, verse 31. John, one of those books of the Bible, tells us exactly why these things happen. John 20, 31. "That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." But what do we have going on here? These people had heard about Jesus. Crowds had made Jesus get into a boat and cross the Sea of Galilee. That's where the waves were. And now they're on the other side. By the way, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have this story in it, and you have to kind of read all three of them. I encourage you, go this afternoon, read the other two accounts. Matthew is actually the shortest, with the least details. And yet, here's this story. The crowds had seen the miracles, and the news had spread far and wide, quickly. And now, the crowds are back together. He's not just walking down the street alone. The disciples are with him, and crowds are pressing. And here comes a guy, the ruler of the synagogue, verse 18. A ruler came and worshipped him. Jairus, we're told, that's his name in the other Gospels, was a man well respected and influential. And they, somehow, the crowd, whatever, whoever was there, made a way for him to get close to Jesus. Why does he come? Well, he had either seen or heard about the healing. And his daughter, his little girl, his only daughter, is sick to death. He uses that word. "My daughter has just died." He's desperate. Jesus had preached maybe. Word through some of the other rulers had come to this guy. Some of the other rulers were plotting to destroy him, Christ. They didn't want him to keep doing what he was doing. Some of the scribes had said that Jesus was a person who used the devil to do his work. Remember? Mark chapter 3. Guess what Jairus does? He comes anyway. After all that they were saying about Jesus, going back and forth, He comes anyway. He knew that Jesus was powerful. There was no denying the healings. The people that he had healed were right there in front of their family and their friends. And when sickness hits his daughter, he knew enough to know that Jesus could heal her. If he could get there in time. In fact, he's still got hope. He comes, apparently, word has come back. She's died. Well, if I can get to him soon enough, he can fix even that. Hebrews 9:27, one of those powerful little verses in the Bible. It is appointed unto men once to die. That's the appointment you have. I hope it's not tomorrow. Sometimes it is tomorrow. And we weren't ready for it, even though we had an appointment. It's a good reminder to us all. But Jairus had heard. And so he comes. And then we have this woman. The story is very interesting. The principal thing that's going on is that Jesus is being called to Jairus' house. There's a crowd filling the street. And there's this woman. She'd been sick 12 years. She had a flow of blood for 12 years. There are not any real details here. Some of the commentators try to describe what she might have been suffering. I think that's a futile effort. We don't know what the medical case was. But it was 12 years. And what does she say? Now, it might have been related to the regular cycles, but most likely not a constant flow of blood. How can anybody bleed for 12 years and still be alive? I don't know. So whatever it was recurring. Constant, been 12 years. She'd been to the doctor. Doctor after doctor after doctor. And whatever she had for money, she'd spent. She was worse. She was hopeless. She was helpless. She hears about Jesus. And she doesn't walk up to him and ask him any questions like Jairus' request. Number one, she was a woman in a time when women were not supposed to do such things, approach men like that. What does she do? She says, if only I can touch him. Where did she get such an idea? Well, maybe in earlier recurrences, miracles. But she's in the crowd. And the crowd was thronging. Verse 24, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead. There was still a crowd at Jairus' house. He turns around. When he saw her, she touches him, pressing, pushing. Remember, one of the Gospels says, Lord, you asked the question, who touched me? Everybody's been touching you. You're in a crowd. They're talking about this man. They're talking about his deeds. Jairus comes and asks him to come. So he went. What an encouragement that ought to be to us, right? To ask the Lord for our needs. Ask. Doesn't he say that? Knock. Great crowd moves along. The woman hears Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. He's going to heal the little girl. Whatever it is she heard, whatever it is she was seeing, she acts on that, and she had tried everything else. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Why is there sickness? Why is there death? Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there suffering in your body? Sin. That's the short answer. That's why we get sick. By the way, that's why we get old. It's why we die. Sin brought all of that about. I don't think we often think about that. But it's pretty clearly the teaching of Scripture. In the day that you eat, you will surely die. Is it any wonder that we don't hate sin more than we do? That we don't stay away from it more than we do when it's caused all of that? But they, both of them, Jairus and the woman, they're coming to Jesus. Throngs of people are on the street. And it's kind of interesting that right here, we don't hear about 20 people lined up to talk to Jesus. In fact, the only person talking to Jesus about a possible healing is Jairus at this moment. Woman doesn't talk to him at all. But they stand out. Jairus comes and falls at his feet. Verse 18. Worshipped him. The ruler, Jairus himself, in public. He's on his knees or on his face. And he begs Jesus earnestly. He's seeking comfort from Christ with great intensity. He came. Parakaleo. It's the word for Holy Spirit. Draw alongside. He's looking for comfort. And where does he go to Christ? Having heard about Jesus, he comes to Jesus pleading for his little girl, his dear child. And Jesus heeds his request. Brothers and sisters, the Lord may not heal every little thing that's going on with us, but you can go to him. And you can cry out to him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he is the God of all comfort. The woman comes very differently. She doesn't come publicly. She doesn't fall on her face. She comes very quietly. She worked her way through the crowd. She found a place to stand where Jesus was going to walk by, something along those lines. Women were not expected to approach teachers. So she's going to act secretly. But just like Jairus, This woman had heard, and she comes. But she says, all I'm going to do is touch the hem of his outer garment. Some commentators seem to spend a great deal of time on the tassel that was probably on Jesus' outer robe. Frankly, I don't know where they get that. But she's going to touch just his robe. And what happens? There's an immediate healing. Mark 29 tells us immediately. Matthew 22 says, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. It happens right away. She's just going to touch his garment, and the affliction is over. Mark chapter 5 is, who touched me? Remember, we know from the Gospels Jesus is can read minds. He knows what the scribes and the Pharisees were thinking in one place. He knows the hearts of men. He knows all things because he's God and man. Now, the disciples in Mark take it literally. What do you mean, who touched you? But Jesus didn't mean physically. He's basically saying something like, who with a touch of faith has reached out to me? Who in this crowd has exercised... By the way, he already knew. But again, making a point for everybody around him. You notice that Jesus doesn't address the disrespect of his disciples. In Mark, there's no... When they say, who touched you? He doesn't say, what's wrong with you? Answer my question. No, he's looking for the one who touched him. And in Mark, we're told she comes and falls at his feet, fearing and trembling. And yet she comes, not knowing what Jesus might say about her reaching out in faith. Look at the tender mercy of Jesus. He says, he calls her daughter. Remember Jairus is asking, come save my little girl? He calls this woman his little girl. He's not mad. He's not put out. He's not inconvenienced by her faith. In fact, he says, be of good cheer. Her faith in him had made her well. By the way, please notice, it's not his clothes that made her well. It's not her touch that made her well. It's her faith. Faith in the person and work of Jesus. She had heard about Jesus and coming to Jesus. And both of those things are good and necessary things. I encourage it. Hear the word. And come to the word. There are lots of crowds going to church today. Many of them are going for the show, the music, the drama, what they can get out of it, the experience. How many of that throng going for all kinds of strange reasons to worship today? How many of them reach out with a touch of faith? If I could just come in contact Jesus. What makes the difference? It's this step of faith. It's trusting Him. Your faith, not your actions. He doesn't say, I'm glad you walked an aisle. He doesn't say, I'm glad you made a decision, prayed a prayer. He says, your faith has made you well, but you believed. Believing in Jesus. While he was speaking peace to this woman, from that very hour, she was made well. I think it's a great rejoicing. No, bad news. The daughter had died. One of the other gospels said, stop bothering the master. She's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Remember he delayed with the Lazarus situation? He's been dead 4 days. He delays because of this woman. But God meant it for good. Refusing to listen, ignoring the bad news, Jesus says in one of the other Gospels, don't worry, Jairus, don't fear. Only believe. You know what happens to fear when faith is present? It flees. And Jesus dismisses the whole throng at the house. He gets there and there's all these professional wailers. There's all kinds of stuff you can read about. There was a whole class of people. They basically made money going to funerals and crying out loud. Making a scene. You know, the Gospels say, put everybody else out of the house except Peter, James, John, the parents. Why is not said. But Jairus' house has all these people around it making this big commotion, trying to impress Jairus. And Jesus says, I don't understand you all. Child is sleeping. By the way, was Jesus wrong? Was he misleading? Is this one of those spots in the Bible that prove? No, none of that. Because he said the same thing about Lazarus. Lazarus is just sleeping. Once again, people taking Jesus too literally. What does Jesus mean? He means that death does not have the last word. He does! They laughed at Jesus. They ridiculed him. We know what death looks like. Those who mock Jesus and his power are not worthy of seeing it displayed. So he puts them out. Everybody out. Says he goes right to the girl. Takes her by the hand. Speaks with authority. And gentleness. One of the other gospels says, he says, little girl, arise. They were greatly amazed. Literally, they were overexcited with great excitement. That's the way Mark puts it. They were overexcited with great excitement. Who wouldn't be? The dead live at Jesus' will. Verse 26. The report of this word went out all over the land. Why wouldn't it? Did you see what I just saw? What's the lesson of this section of the of Scripture? Well, why don't we just all cry out to Jesus and all of our illnesses will be healed? How many of you who are sick have been cried out to Jesus? Yeah, I didn't think I was the only one. But those who are sick in their souls, those who are dead in trespasses and sin, can have the biggest problem they have solved by coming to Christ. Do you know someone? Or, again, are you in a desperate, helpless, hopeless condition? Doesn't seem like there's any way. Any way to change it? Have you heard about Jesus? And about Calvary? And about His defeating death? And will you come to Jesus? Not in order just to get a healing. Guess what? Lazarus was raised to life again. Guess what happened to him? What'd you say, Sid? He died again! This woman is not still alive. You could be as healthy as you could be, and death is still coming. Big problem is, what are you going to do about that? Only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's your biggest problem. Sin. And there's a way to solve it. Going to hear this line again probably next week, but what's wrong with you, Pastor? Nothing the resurrection won't cure. It's not original with me. I don't know who said it. I have to look up this text, but I think I'm going to start owning that. How you doing, Pastor? Nothing the resurrection won't cure. You realize that no one dies a second before their time? Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that mine doesn't happen right in front of you, right here in a pulpit. I would rather not have that be your experience. But I would also say to you that no one suffers without purpose. And the day is coming when Jesus will return. And there will be no more sickness. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more death. There will be no more sin. But our death, our inevitable death, may be the very door that leads us into glory. Would we come to that door and say, nah, not going through that door? And by the way, that's exactly what a pilgrim does. Standing on the shore of Jordan. Not really sure I want to walk through that water. That's the only way. Faith. Faith is the thing. Some people are overexcited with great excitement about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in glory. It's coming one day. This text is not about just ask Jesus and He'll take away every thorn. Again, several of us have done that. We've asked the Lord. Wouldn't it be better, Lord, if I was... Wouldn't it be better if I didn't have this? But why did Jesus come into the world? Just so that we could be happy? So that we could not have any kind of trial or tribulation? No, He came so that we might believe in Him. This is why Jesus came into the world. This is why Jesus healed the woman. This is why Jesus goes and raises Jairus' dead daughter. Not so that we say, wow, look at the miracle, so that we would believe he is the one with the power, with the authority to not only give life to the dead, but so that believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing in his name, you might have life forevermore. That's the promise of the gospel. Not that you would have healthy, wealthy, happy life every single day of your life. Hard times are coming. But Christ has overcome the failures of sin. And there's a day coming. When we'll see Jesus face to face. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that there is a testimony in your word. There were witnesses, there were people who saw these powerful, mighty miracles. We're not completely sure why so many of us deal with thorns in the flesh, with old age, with the inevitable coming of our last day. But Father, we thank you that there has been promised to us a glory beyond, exceedingly above all that we could think or ask. Oh Lord, help us to set our sights on the great promise. For Jesus has come and done all that needs doing by living his life and giving his life that we might be called the sons and daughters of the King. Father, increase our faith. Oh Lord, strengthen our faith that we might walk worthy of this high calling in Christ. Hear us for his sake. Amen.